sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode 153. 153. Made you look. Now, let's get it all in perspective. For all your enjoyment, a song y'all can step with. Y'all appointed me to bring rap justice. But I ain't 5-0, y'all know it's Nas, yo. Grey Goose with a whole lot of hydro. Only describe us as soldier survivors. Stay laced in the best, well-dressed, with finesse in a white tee, looking for wifey. Thug girl, who fly and talk so nicely. Put her in a coupe, so she can feel the nice breeze. We can drive through the city, no doubt, but don't say the car's topless. See the titties is out. See the titties is out. Giggity. Newness, here's the anthem. Here's a tough part. Put your hand up that you shoot with. Count your loot with. push the pull stick with in your U crib. Same hand that you hoop with, swing around like you stupid. King of the town. No, I should say that. King of the town? Yeah, I been that. You know I click clack where you're... That's powerful line. You know I click clack where you and your men's at. Do the smurf, do the wop baseball bat. Rooftop like they bringing 88 back. They shooting. I made you look.
Message!
You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money. Playboys, your time's up. Where them gangsters, where them dimes at? They shooting. I made you look.
Message!
You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money. Playboy, your time's up. Where the gangsters at? Where the dimes at? Be black. Be black. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay, okay. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Be Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. God damn it. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Don't worry. Don't call the hospitals. I'm okay. Hey, before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners. I want to inform you listeners, all you listeners, especially forgetful ones, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Bouge bleu is up in this bitch. You know, I'm going to translate that for white people. This podcast is a safe space for black, Haitian, Canadian. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s. Excuse me. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes, who answer yes to the question.
Are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 3rd, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Okay, you know, before I start, two things. I feel the need to acknowledge that, you know, happy belated birthday to my brother. It's a weird thing to say, but, whatever. March 3rd. I can't stop thinking about that part. But yeah, no, it's a weird thing to say because, you know, he's not my target audience for this podcast. He's not the target audience for this podcast. Anyways, two, I am, I gotta rush this episode because I got things to do. I like being like the other podcast. Like I think I'm doing it on purpose. I'm proud. I'm gleeful about the fact that I gotta rush this episode because I got something to do afterwards. And it just goes to show that I have a life outside of this podcast. You know, in case you doubted it. And yeah, shit I do to make myself sound important. And okay, being that I'm rushed, so let's do this. Okay, so check this out. For you new listeners, just to help you get familiar with this podcast, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. The first part is the intro. Second part is the news and random thoughts. And last part is final thoughts. Oh, also on this podcast, I refer to my parts as giggity. I refer to the parts of the podcast as acts. Because I'm fancy like that. Yeah, so in the intro, what you just heard me, what I've done so far is played the theme, recited some poetry that's going to relate to the final thought, and greetings, kind of gave you a heads up of the kind of, you know, viewer discretion advised type of message at the beginning, and do shit like, one thing I like to do in the intro is also share some quotes. And this quote goes, okay, I got two quotes I'm sharing. First one goes, because it made me emotional, I'm sharing this one. It goes, you deserve to be in an environment that brings out the softness in you, not the survival in you. Oh, my God. I got to tell you, man. Yeah, okay, I won't elaborate, but I'm just going to say, when you become that friend that allows someone else to bring out their softness in you, to bring out their softness and not their survival mode, you are a special human being. Yeah. If there's someone like that in your life that feels that kind of comfort around you, consider yourself special. You are important to them. Here's hoping that that relationship is reciprocated. All right. The second quote goes, God made you different. Don't ruin that by trying to be like everyone else. Damn, I love these ones. Yeah. I linked them in the show notes. Both these quotes don't actually have an author, but yeah, if you want to remember them for your own purposes, go to the show notes on the website. Okay, all right, so that's it for the introduction. So we jump into news and random thoughts. Okay, now before we do that, I have to signal that I'm ending an act. This is the official sound to mark the ending of an act, and it goes like this. Fuck, I love that sound. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. News and random thoughts. Okay. So here's the thing. I don't really have any. When I made this episode, I didn't have any real news to. Hold on a second. Did I really forget to put on the timer? Yes, I did. I forgot to put on the timer. All right. Let's go. And I hate when I talk low on the microphone, but here we go. All right. You know what's going on? As I'm speaking to you, my brain, I'm just noticing that. There's a part of my brain that's catching on every mistake. Okay, not every mistake. Everything, kind of a good thing. Everything that I consider to be a mistake, whether it's bridge word, whether it's using repeating words all the time, saying shit like that, my mind is catching it, and instead of, don't do it next time. It's like fucking. It's like dissing me. It's like beating me up. Yeah. There's a war going on inside. No man is safe from. But yeah, that's details. That's only useful to me, not you. Okay. Where was I? Right. So for today's God damn it. So today's news, I decided to share some serious news, some real news from the queer agenda. And the reason, part of the reason is because when I heard this clip, she touched on things that I needed to hear about. So I'll let her take it over. So The Queer Agenda is a content creator on TikTok. And here we go.
On The Queer Agenda. A new lawsuit has been filed against Diddy that further depicts him as hip-hop Hannibal Lecter. Mm. One of his former producers is suing him for allegations including trafficking young girls, sexual assault, harassment, etc. It also names other celebrities and other rappers who may have been involved. Oh, wow. Now, out of all of that wicked shit, what do you think the dominant discourse on Twitter has been about? Guess. Making fun of Diddy and Meek Mill for being gay. Sexual abuse? Meh. Trafficking underage girls? Meh. But a man being gay or bisexual? Oh God, alert the townspeople. The Breakfast Club is feuding with T.S. Madison, all stemming from the fact that they sat on a nationally syndicated...
Okay, I'm just gonna hit pause just so I could say, I'll replay it, I'm gonna continue, but I have a strong... When I heard the name Breakfast Club, I have a strong need to say, man, fuck the Breakfast Club. As a staff, record labels, as a motherfucking crew. Here we go.
Podcast and said that Risa Tisa making herself vulnerable to the Babadook is big back behavior. Just hilarious. The same woman who once asked who protects biological women sat next to two raggedy ass men and helped them ridicule one. Which tracks, because one thing about a lot, not all, but a lot of cis heterosexual women is that y'all don't give a fuck about actually advocating for women, but then when it comes time to dogpile on a trans woman, all of a sudden everybody's a radical feminist who's obsessed with menstruation. In international news, a bill has passed in Ghana where homosexuality was already illegal, but this new bill extends the sentencing and also expands so that people who are simply advocating for LGBTQ people can also be in prison.
Wow.
Human rights activists in Ghana are talking about this. I just want to highlight it as well because it's very easy for me to sit my ass on this camera and talk about the subjugation of American queer people. And while I live in a country that doesn't make it that comfortable to be gay, at least I don't risk being thrown in prison for it. The reason we advocate for children to be exposed to age-appropriate queer representation is not because we're trying to turn your kids gay. We just don't want them to grow up as nasty and hateful as the adults that often influence them.
Mm-hmm. Preach, preach. I felt this needed to be shared. Two things is, first one is I'm going back, not to Ghana. I mean, I knew homophobia was fucked up over there, but to that point, so I'm laughing, and it makes me rethink the whole go back to Africa trip. Second, yeah, I already said fuck Breakfast Club, but I think the real reason why I initially wanted to share a clip about the Breakfast Club, there was another content creator that took it upon themselves to, they brought up or they called out The Breakfast Club for attacking, is it T.S. Williams? And but the thing is, I'm not clear on the details, but the one thing that's close to heart is the fact that they attacked a content creator for being vulnerable. That's a hanging offense. It's up there with taking advantage of someone else's trust. Of trustworthy people. Pet peeves. It's like it's shit that just irritates me. But yeah, so shout out to The Queer Agenda and check out her content. She got more content that on her page. Check out her content, period. All right. And shout out to her for providing some serious news for my news and random thought section. All right. Okay. This is news too, but I'm not going to read the details just so you can say you heard it here first. Former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, dead at 84. No comments. I'm not going to say anything insensitive. The only thing I only bring this up is because Brian Mulroney was a Prime Minister during my youth, back in the days when I didn't pay attention to politics or the news, or when the news would come on, it would interrupt my cartoons. It's like, God damn it. You know, hold on, let me just confirm. When was Brian Mulroney Prime Minister? He was before Chrétien. Yeah, you think about Chrétien. Brian Mulroney. I actually know he was of the conservative party. I didn't know him well enough to have a strong opinion. I'm not saying he's a good guy or whatever. I'm just saying I don't know him well enough to say something to speak for or against him. I just know that if I was into politics around the time that in office, 83 to 84, does that make sense? Oh, leader of the opposition, prime minister from 84 to 83. So, oh, yeah, significant portion of my childhood. I was, what is it? 4 years old? Yeah, 75. Oh, no, 8. Oh, my God, 9 years old. Jesus Christ. Okay, so from 9 till, this is an exercise in math. Yeah, 9 and till I was 17? Oh, wow. Anyway, that's the only point I bring him up. So, yeah, homie's dead. Okay, move on. Okay, next item. Why are you going to cover him if you weren't going to say anything? Just so you could say that, yeah, I heard on Shut Up Podcast. It's bad. I kind of want you to be able to say that. You know what? There's no reason. All right, okay. It's not news and random thought. Before I get into random thoughts, well, this is actually a random thought. So on the last episode, I talked about, I commemorate, brought up, and the name Aaron Bushnell. I saw a tweet about his will that I felt the need to share with everyone. It goes, Aaron's will, from Aaron's will. I am sorry to my brothers and my friends for leaving you like this. Oh, man. Suicide, I guess. Of course, if I was truly sorry, I wouldn't be doing it. But the machine demands blood. None of this is fair. I wish for my remains to be cremated. I do not wish for my ashes to be scattered or my remains to be buried, as my body does not belong anywhere in this world. If a time comes when Palestinians regain control of their land, and if the people native to the land would be open to the possibility, I would love for my ashes to be scattered in a free Palestine. Damn, man. Damn. Damn, man. Fuck. I just saw a clip of somewhere in Japan. I'm assuming it's the capital. Yeah, it must be in the capital. And it's a Japanese man. He walks up to the Israeli embassy, and he's just yelling at him like that. He's speaking in Japanese, but I get a sense that what he's yelling is ceasefire or end the genocide. And the police are coming to try to talk him, like knock it off. And this is, I think, I want to dedicate this portion to all of us who are like, what the fuck? This shit ain't normal. We're surrounded by people who are like, eh, it's just a genocide. Look away. And the rest of us are like, this shit can't be happening. And we don't have what it takes to jump into the battlefield. That's all we can do. Look from the side as this atrocity is being committed. An atrocity that in the future will be looked back. People will look back and they'll be like, how did we let this happen? An atrocity, I'm telling myself, that will likely won't make sense to the people of the future, but with all the details we have about the world, maybe we'll start to understand that, yeah, you know what? We human beings, we could be terrible. We could be some terrible people. The last point I'm going to say about the Israeli conflict, the war in between Israel and Palestine. Yeah, I'm not calling it Israel and Hamas. It's Israel and Palestine. I've yet to meet someone on the Israeli side capable of speaking about Palestinians and acknowledging their humanity. Anyways, on that war, fuck. All Israel is showing to me is that, yo, the only difference between us and Hitler is Hitler killed our people. We're not killing our own people. Fuck, sorry, this is just me. This is just me. What you're hearing is a grown man crying. I can't see him coming down my eye, so I got to make this podcast cry. All right, next item that I have on my agenda. Okay, these are seriously personal thoughts. As I'm thinking of more of Palestine, but it's more, I just finished watching the movie Oppenheimer, yeah. And it just struck me, the major takeaway out of this is how back then, how easy it was to convince the public that communism is the enemy. Like back then, communism was the war on drugs. Communism was the war on terrorism. And I'm connecting to something that I said on the previous episode about how this younger generation gives me hope. Part of that hope is the fact that it's going to be a bit more difficult for politicians to sell the general public on a war. Like, you can't make shit up. Oh, it's a war between good and evil. No. We're capable of evil too. How serious is their evil? Like, there's a greater consciousness of the world that we live in. Now, granted, there's still a significant portion of the population who, in my opinion, still haven't discovered fire yet, still haven't evolved, and who could still fall for what? Who the government, especially a conservative government, could sell on a useless war. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, look. The only point I was trying to make is the only thought I had is how easy it was to sell the general public that communism is your enemy. And I'm grateful that this new, and how good luck trying that on this newer generation. Yeah, I'm trying to stay hopeful. Sorry, the cynic in me is saying, yeah, whatever. These politicians are clever. They'll find a way to sell a war. Anyway, whatever. Well, you know what's interesting about the Israel's war against Palestine is how Israel is, when I say Israel, the Israeli government, just to be more specific, right? The Israeli government is still using old school tactics to sell their war against Palestine. No, we're not around with Palestine. We're at war against Hamas. And what the fuck? Come on. If it was the Taliban, y'all would do the same shit as us. Yeah, they're using the same tactics. But what's amazing is how we're living in the time is we see through the bullshit. It's like we see what's going on. It's like, yeah, no, you're the problem, not them. Yeah, say it's fucked up is we see it, but at the moment, ain't shit we could do about it. Wow. Okay, next item. All right. I was watching an episode of This Is Us, and I got the feeling that I can ruin it. Okay, it's not the episode that's significant. It's more something that happened in the episode. No, two characters made an important decision, and these two characters are married, I should mention, right? Made an important decision that involves them following their dreams. But in order for them to do that, like at the beginning, it looked like an impossible quest. And then they made the decision that we're going to scale down our expenses in order to follow our dreams, meaning we're going to move into a smaller house. And that scene had me thinking about how, wow, I have an inability to want less. Like, I think there's a lot of us out there who the real reason why we are not pursuing our dream, the real reason why we tolerate with a job that just pays the bill, that doesn't give us passion, is because we have an inability to want less. This could have been a final thought, but technically it's the final thought to use a random thought, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to explore that notion, but I'm realizing that so many problems would be solved if I had an ability to want less. And what I mean by want less, I don't mean being satisfied or resting on your laurels. No, I mean that There's something in me. I feel like I was born in this capitalistic society. There's a reason why I love buffets. There's a reason why I buy, like, I had to declutter my apartment. And I'm slowly getting back. I'm slowly cluttering. Like, there's more shit. It's as if we were all planted this notion of you gotta want more. Wanting less is for suckers. Wanting less is for the commies. It's okay to have a suck. Like, I'm looking at myself like a part of, yeah, I mean, okay, so I'm obese. Speaking of, I was thinking of what this week of Queer Agenda was saying about how the only thing people are focused on when it comes to Diddy is sex trade, not the horrendous shit. No, the fact that he's gay. But it had me thinking about how, as a fat person, I'm surrounded by people who hate the fat, like who hate fat people, fat phobia, who hate fat people as much. Like, they're the ones committing atrocities. Like, they're the ones flying those jets on top of the Gaza Strip or Palestine and turning kids into orphans or turning kids into rubble. Like, this hatred. I mean, our priorities are all fucked up in this society. Anyway, where was I going with this? Yes, my inability to want less. So, I am slowly trying to get into a position where of self-acceptance, right? Now, part of my journey into getting to self-acceptance, it's not embracing the fact that, hey, I'm fat or not that. It's more stop using hatred as a means to deal with obesity. When I think about it, all my advice, everything that I know about obesity, dealing with obesity is not eating less, exercising, all that shit. No, it's staring at the mirror and cursing yourself out for being. Don't do shit. Just that's what being obese is. Part of being obese is staring at that mirror and hating yourself for being fat. It's like there are people who look at you. It's like, how, you disgusting pig. Hate yourself. And the priority is hating yourself, not doing the shit that you need to do to lose weight. Now, I want to be clear. I am not saying, hey, if you're fat, you need to exercise. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you happen to be obese and you choose or you have the need, the want, the desire to lose weight, then go for it. See, I actually jumped into, I'm reminding myself, I'm talking about my inability to want less. Yes, okay, before I get off track, I'm sticking to the idea of my inability to want less. This could be a sermon unto its own. But yes, I have this thing in my mind, like this default, this programming in my mind. It's like you're Pac-Man. More! Feed me! And it felt like a normal thing to have. You know, I get a raise, buy more shit. It felt like something natural, but I'm realizing that motherfucker is actually a cock blocker. It's in the ways of, like, the real reason why I am not pursuing my path. I think someone like me would do better in a nonprofit organization. Working for a nonprofit. Problem with nonprofit is they can't pay me what I'm being paid right now. So it goes back to that saying from Fight Club. Excuse me. Goes back to that saying of Fight Club is the things you own end up owning you. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm being owned by this lifestyle. I'm looking at my apartment, this room that I can't properly breathe in. Like, if I were to be in a situation where, oh, sorry, we got to lay you off. First thing I'm going to think about is, oh, shit. What about all my shit? What about my significant shit that I don't want, that I don't actually need? Like, that's why my employer has me by the balls, because I'm addicted to this bullshit. I have an addiction to wanting more. And not want more like getting out of my comfort zone. No, I mean more like more material shit. Anyways, this is just concludes. This concludes my inability to want less. You know what? It might be a. I need to dig into that idea further, but for now, that's all I could. It's just a revelation. A lot of my problems would be solved if I could address my inability to want less. I'd probably lose weight. All right. All right, okay. Let's. This concludes User Random Thought. Let's jump into Final Thoughts. I had to think about that. What's the next segment called? Final Thoughts. And yeah. And we get to end this podcast, and I get to go to my appointment. All right, let's go. All right. Okay, what's up with today's title? Okay, first of all, feeling parched here. Okay, what's up with today's title? Shout out to you hip-hop heads who recognize the lyrical genius of Nas, the rapper Nas. And it's from his track, Made You Look. It's from his track, Made You Look, from the same track, Made You Look, from his track from his sixth album, Godson. And this is the first time. I don't usually do this. I try to avoid recycling a title, the same title a rapper used for their song. But in this particular case, I felt it was more appropriate. It was more apropos to connect it to what I'm trying to say. I am inspired by the fact that two things. One is I got Trouble Soul Refinery Part 2, Minor Demons, from Talal Macy. The book came in the mail. I'm grateful for that. And at the same time, I actually was going to recite one of his poems at the beginning of the episode. But his poem, I wouldn't do it justice. I wouldn't do it justice. I don't want to read it like sixth grade level. I feel like I should. Okay, hold on. I'm not giving you excuses, but... Oh my God. Made You Look. Minor Demons came in and I discovered and I've fallen in love with a new audiobook, and it's The Godfather by Mario Puzo. Puzo. Is that Puzo? And yo, I'm loving it. Excuse me. Now, I have seen the movie, but I didn't realize. I knew there was a book out there. I don't know why. Doesn't matter how I came up, how I decided to download the book. But the book is just filled with detail. Now, it's filled with a lot of details that's not in the movies, needless to say. Of course, because in the book allows you to use your imagination. I've seen the movie several times, The Godfather. And I remember just asking myself so many... questions, because I think a lot, right? I'm addicted to thinking. I'm addicted to to wanting more and thinking. All right. And like Tom, where is he from? Can I get more details about his birth, about this particular character? How did he go from this to this? How did he reach this? How did the Godfather know that? I forget the name of the characters. That character was the bad guy. And what I love about the book, it goes into so much details that wasn't in the movies. Now, I'm not saying the movie did a bad job. I'm saying, holy shit, this world is bigger than the world created by Mario Puzo is bigger than what the screen, that 3-hour movie was able to portray. Now, I think my biggest takeaway as I'm reading the book is I find myself being fascinated by writers. Like, I mean, the same way I'm fascinated by writers, the same way I used to be fascinated by rappers. Like, shit, I wish I could do what they do. I'm going to get back to that idea of wishing I could be a writer. Where it really hit me, the idea of being a writer or my fascination, where I realize I have a fascination for writers, is while listening to the book, I found myself getting into, I'm going to confess something, right? I have this insecurity that still lingers in me from my days as being a member of the cult of masculinity. It's one of those things that I shouldn't have, but it is there and I'm acknowledging it, right? I have this insecure, I've always been insecurity about my masculinity. Not in terms of sexuality, but more in terms of the fact that I didn't like fighting. I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't the I didn't sleep with I didn't sleep with a lot of women. I didn't have multiple partners. I didn't have girlfriends. I didn't have, you know, I suck as a, everything they told us a man should be able to do. Yeah, I didn't do well. That wasn't, the boy and man I grew up to be was not what gets portrayed in the movies as what it is to be a real man. So while I'm listening to, so that insecurity, even though, you know, I've been dealing with therapy, even though I've been getting more comfortable in my skin and who I am and accepting that that's them, that's me. Even though I have that enlightenment, every once in a while that insecurity will sneak up on me, because I'm not perfect, you know. It's a journey. It's a journey. So while listening to his book, and he's talking about, while listening to Mario Puzo's book on The Godfather, and I'm hearing about The Godfather himself, Marlon Brando's character, Michael Corleone. Is it Michael Corleone? Yeah. Wait. Michael is the son? And what was The Godfather's name? Holy shit. Hold on a second. Godfather. You know, I should have did this before read the book. Characters, Vito Corleone, there we go. Oh my God. Yeah. Michael is the son, Vito is the father. Hearing him speak, there was a part of me that was, because he talked about family and all that shit, there was a part, my insecurity was creeping up. And because when you go to these, what do you call it, these manosphere or any writings about what it is to be a real man, they usually will show these images. They'll use Vito Corleone, Michael Corleone, to be a symbolic of what it is to be a real man, a man amongst men, a tough man. It's like, yeah, man, you gotta be about your family. You gotta care about. You gotta be able to influence other men to do what you want them to do. You don't show them what you're thinking. Be the top of the food chain. You know, all that shit. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of details I don't need to. You know what I'm talking about. I'm kind of hoping because anyways. So as I'm hearing about Vito Corleone doing his thing, I'm like feeling like, damn, I should have had kids. I should have had a family. I should have been this, that, blah, 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 blah. And it hit me. Dude, you're dick riding a fictitious character right now. You're allowing your insecurities to be triggered by a character that was created by Mario Puzo, which links to the title of the episode, Made You Look. Specifically the part where Nas says, you're a slave to a page in my rhyme book. It's amazing how, yo, Mario Puzo, by the way, he was obese too. But apparently he had his impulse control issues. But that's not what he's known for. He's known as a great writer, to which he is. It reminded me how, growing up, I wanted to be a thug. I wanted to be a bad boy. I wanted to get all the girls. I wanted to have all the money. Fuck who's the baddest. A person's status depends on salary. I wanted to be the alpha male, the top dog, and all that shit. And finally, I made peace with the fact that, yeah, you're too fat to be an no. Finally, I made peace that I didn't have those characteristics. It was around that same time that I wanted to be a preacher, and I consoled myself with the notion that, you know what, I don't have to be a thug. I can be the guy that the thugs listen to. And where I'm going with this is it's pretty much just embracing the idea of embracing who you are. Again, I shouldn't be preaching this because I struggle with this. This is just, yeah, I struggle with this, the notion of embracing who you are. But I am acknowledging the times where I got it right. I remember consoling myself with, you know what, that I could do. I could get on that pulpit. Back then, I wanted to be a preacher. But yeah, I could be a pulpit. I could be the guy who says, like Jay-Z says, what's that line? He goes, how do you rate music that thugs relate, with thugs with nothing relate to it? I help them see their way through it. Like, I could be that guy who helps the tough guys see their way through it. I have that ability. I like this idea of the pen is mightier than the sword. I like the idea of when Game of Thrones, when Jon Snow joined the Night Watch. Idiot. Anyway, when he joins the Night Watch in season one, and how his whole idea was to be a ranger. He wanted to be like, you know, one of the tough guys, a ranger, wanted to be a soldier. He had no idea. He never saw leadership quality in himself. And then the Lord Commander sees him and says, "Yo, nah, you're gonna be my waiter." And it pissed him off. And then it took Sam to make him realize, dude, he's grooming you for leadership. I think where I'm going with this is how starting up wanting small, or starting up as boys, as a boy, and I wanted so less from the world. If I was back in my spiritual days, I'd be saying how starting up, you want less and being oblivious of not realizing that God wants more for you. In this particular case, I'm saying what the universe wants less for. See, we start out wanting. Excuse me, I'm talking about myself. I started out wanting crumbs and being oblivious with the skill set that I have, with the talent, the traits that I have, I could get more. Sorry, I'm laughing because I start, you know, I could summarize what I wanted to. Money, cash, hoes. Why? Because that's what my favorite rappers kept rapping about. But someone like me could get more. Well, someone like me could get more. First, I got to believe it. That's the hard part, getting myself to believe it. But at the very least, I'm realizing that, yes, I've been playing this game of life, selling myself out. I have that going for myself, the realization. I mean, I'm realizing it now. Step two is getting it to do something about it. Getting back to the idea of, yeah, final thoughts here. Getting back to the idea of I wish I was a writer. What's stopping me from being a writer? Because, shout out to my homie Jay. She's got the same problem too. She can write amazing documentation, but she hates the process. Exactly. I hate the fucking, in my mind, there's a complicated idea. There's a complicated idea that makes sense to me, but as soon as I attempt to put it on paper, I lose that idea disappears. I'm lost. I'm like, what the fuck was I trying to talk about? In my mind, it's as real could be. But as soon as I make an attempt to transition it from the mental state to a real state, it's as difficult. Like, are you familiar with constipation? I really don't want to. I hate bringing this up. It's like constipation. If you're familiar with constipation, yeah. I wish there was like a Metamucil product for writers. I don't know. Maybe my problem is, I'm thinking out loud, by the way. Maybe my problem is I overcomplicate the step to convert from image to, or maybe there's tools that I need. You know what? Maybe there's a tool out there. I don't mean software, but maybe there's tactics, skills, techniques to help simplify those thoughts and put it on paper. One thing I hate is once I put it on paper and I'm like, nah, that's not what the fuck I'm talking about. Ain't that a bitch? Even my own self speaking to myself has moments of, hey, asshole, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? There's misunderstanding between those two. Part of why I do this podcast, maybe this is a first step. Maybe this podcast is going to lead me into being a writer. But part of me doing this podcast, it's just forcing me to put what's in my mind and put it out there. It's like, fuck it. Stop overthinking it. Just say it. Fuck it. Doesn't fucking matter. Don't care about the audience. Just say it. Take that idea and put it out there. Step two will be finally putting those ideas down on papers. Because I do acknowledge that sometimes I put out thoughts that need development, that need the ideas organized and need like some. I put out thoughts that deserve more thoughts into explaining it to someone else. They need to be hashed out a bit more. I acknowledge that. Hashed out to a point where someone else could be like, oh, that's what you're trying to say. Yes, Y does equal MX plus B. Yes. So getting back to, I'm fascinated. Like, yo, I'm listening to this, but I'm enjoying the book while I also feeling a part of me like dick riding the author. Like, wow, my God, you're awesome. And the thing about it, he's just a human being. Niggas bleed just like us. He's just a human being. Well, I love Mario Puzo's story because it starts out how, yo, homie, like, been writing. Two things. He been writing, and then he fucking won the lottery with Godfather. Shit. And how he sold the rights for Godfather because he needed the money to pay off some debts. Two, what was the second part? Fuck. He been writing. Ah, fuck. I forgot what I was going to say. My dad was a good writer, too. He was good at putting thoughts on papers. I wonder if that's where I got it from. Damn, I wish I could remember what was the second thought about Mario Puzo's. Anyways, yeah, just I'm giving homie props for writing characters that are bigger than life. Writing characters that everyone else... like, there are people out there who are like, yo, that shit's real. Oh, my fascination with The Godfather is, yo, Mario Puzo did not live that life. Homie researched the mafia and came out with this amazing story. Came out with stories that even people from the mafia are like, yes. Yeah, that's what's up. I could... Okay, you know what? Maybe no. Maybe people from the mafia are like, that's some bullshit. But I do, I'm laughing at The Sopranos as being my reference to the mafia world. Well, the people, the character, the fictional character, The Sopranos admire the fictional characters in The Godfather. So it must be real. Anyways, I'm just going to end it with, yo, made you look. Yo, Nas was onto something when he said, made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. I think what I'm getting at is how all of us are a product. Not just a product of how the influence these writers have on our lives. How much can be accomplished with a pen? Like an army can, sure, change borders all over the world. But a pen can inspire that person. A pen to, look, yeah, I think this is, just, yeah, I'm fascinated with the power of the pen, boys and girls. That's really what it comes down to. If this was a song, Made You Look would be a song about my, I didn't realize up until now about my fascination with the power of the pen. All right, B-Black, come on, man. You're saying, remember, you got a movie to go watch. Oh, yeah. So I should mention that my appointment is I'm going to watch Dune 2. And I didn't want to spend watching the movie going, fuck, I got to record this podcast. So now I'm free. So with that said, what's the time? Okay, yeah, I got to go get ready. Okay, this concludes today's episode. Like always, please check out the show notes. Check out the show notes for the topic referenced throughout this episode. And also there's an extra section called Other Links where I just put cool things in there. You know, I could tell you off the top of my head. No, I mean, I could recite it. The first one is the most unlikely Florida man video ever. Oh my God. This next one, just a gal handling like a boss. I don't know. On that link, I don't know who this woman is, but I admire her. Excuse me. I admire the way she handled this situation. It's an old video. Well, if you're familiar, well, for Black Twitter, it's an old video. It's that black woman who her wig falls off. And the way she handles the situation, nigga. The way she handles it, like, I use it in my own life. Anyways, yeah, and then the third link is Boondocks comic strip. Okay, boys and girls, this concludes today's episode. You can holler at me on the social media via Twitter, Instagram, and Threads using the handle @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok @ShutUpPodcast.com. You know what? Let me. I forgot that. I'm remembering that I have new links on my website, and I need to share. Yes. Okay. Social media links. So I'm on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Oh my God. and in Patreon. Yes. For now, $5 a month entitles you to the entire catalog of Shut Up Podcast, all my episodes, all the episodes, and at the same time, and the link to the YouTube version. Now, I gotta admit, right now the videos is a simple video of the logo and the audio version, but it will evolve to an actual better quality video, so to speak, an actual clip. I'm working on that. But you know what? To be honest with you, the real value is you're helping a brother out. If you subscribe to my Patreon, your really bottom line is you're helping a brother out. That's really what it's all about. But I will be adding more value to than just helping someone out. All right. Website. If you're really serious about holler at me on the internets, go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time. And this time, put some bass in it. I said shutuppodcast.com. The power of three, kids. The email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. Or go to Google, Apple, Amazon, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast except iHeartRadio and Spotify. I don't know how to explain that part. You can find me anywhere on the internet except for Spotify. Why? Because it's a long story. Thank you for listening, boys and girls. And thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now!